He has a story to tell all of you of horror in the jungle at night. He heard my voice appealing to him early in the day and tried to follow it as best he could, but wandered and wandered and wandered around in circles, unable to get out of the jungle. He was bitten by several different little creatures, but fortunately, miraculously, nothing fatal, nothing dangerous. Moreover, a big tiger, a panther, brushed by him. He described it as quite sizable. Just thinking on Father and being quiet, the panther amazingly did not respond to his scent. Often the tiger will strike even when it's not hungry, just because of fear of what man has done to the tiger in the past. One blow of a paw of a tiger or panther will bring about instant breaking of the neck or the back. It was hell there. He says to all, don't ever consider going into the jungle alone. It was a nightmare. We're so grateful that he came home. And this morning I felt to stop the call to the army through the Prime Minister for a search and made one last call. And beautifully, beautifully, he found his way to the edge of the jungle. We are grateful indeed. So if you have depression, please talk to the council. If you have some kind of problem, write it up to the office, and I will be glad to try to do everything in my power, as beleaguered as I am. Indeed, I am beleaguered with the trouble on top of the heads of our people in the United States. I named several of them last night, that Stone, Cobb, Debbie, Liz Foreman, Mike Cartmell, and others have signed fraudulent lies trying to get them put in jail. But I can assure you, we will come through. We will get the victory. Our people will be free. All you need to do is work cooperatively and be grateful for what we have. It's hell. We've had to hide our people from district attorneys coming by, all sorts of other officials who they lie to and try to get them in trouble because they're pressured by something being hung over their head and they have no honor or no courage. They would willingly sell out their sisters and brothers, those they have walked with in the greatest faith, the only thing that gives reason to life, socialism. They would rather sell them out than risk going to jail. That shows that we should stay put and appreciate what we have. Remember again that suicide is exactly like I said. If I know how to protect people in the jungles, if I know how to bring people back, like the little boy, Jakari Wilson, that went into a coma just after Ricky left, when no one on earth has ever heard of a child coming back after going into a coma from a brain fall, a brain injury the day before. But instantly upon my attention and word, he came back. Let us think of the miracles, that this lad was able to find his way back. Even a couple of our other search party got lost when they thought they knew the jungle well and got completely confused in trying to find Ricky. So stay in the area of protection. Mighty, mighty, mighty protection that it is. We've had no snake bites. We've had no panthers ever offer to come into our residential community. That shows a power of socialism in my mind that needs to be respected and we need to show more gratitude. Let us be sure that we are being warm, speak to each other, report anyone that does not speak. We are to be courteous and considerate in the serving of food. Also, those that come for service of food are to be kind in their request. We learn several things that we need to implement. A place where people who will work extra, accumulate time, can have a way of getting away to themselves. Please understand that your dad is under great pressure these days, horrifying pressure in saving his people. But we are moving ahead with increased buildings. One day you will have the space you need, and certainly we have seen such great improvements already. Tonight there are several movies. We will either see the Bogart movies or Shelley Winters' fantastic movie or a couple of other movies I am not familiar with. Unless there's some other request, we might give our television a rest. However, if there's enough requests for some television movie, we will consider that. Due to the long meeting of last night, there will be a cancellation of the extra socialist class. But do be prepared for the news that I have given now, so that you will be ready for socialist testing, thorough testing. We're going to have to get down to writing tomorrow night and People's Rally Saturday. Being that Zaire has turned so sharply as a friend of the Angolan people, when it was almost considered to be in the pocket of USA imperialism, I think I will give you the background of Zaire once again. It is located in South Central Africa. West is the Congo, the People's Republic, Marxist-Leninist nation of the People's Republic of Congo. They are the ones that secretly worked out the peace treaties and negotiations between Zaire and Angola. North is the Central African Republic and the Sudan. You know the Sudan, where they're having 100 cities wiped out by floods. East is Uganda, with Papa Idi Amin, who said that the Cubans were the heroes of Africa. Also east is Rwanda, Burundi, B-U-R-U-N-D-I, and Tanzania, a socialist country that's being aided economically now by China. Southeast is Zambia. Southwest is Angola. Zaire puts out a skinny leg to the Atlantic, where it has a 20-mile coastline. Cuba today, just now, by the way, has denounced the United States for some new plot to destroy its government because of its involvement in Africa. Cuba appeals to China to follow its own international course of communism and not allow itself to be used as a tool of capitalism. How was Zaire created? Former Belgian Congo, whose frontiers emerged from the consent of the neighboring colonial powers, the white domination of Britain, France, and Portugal. It won freedom of sorts from Belgium in 1960. Belgium is B-E-L-G-I-U-M. Temporarily lost Katanga province. Those people were independent and free and voted their own independence. But U.S. imperialists and French and Belgium imperialists would not allow the Katanga province to be free. That's K-A-T-A-N-G-A, now known as Shaba. But that was forcibly You reunited with it in 1964. The size of Zaire is 905,365 square miles, 12 times the size of Guyana, 77 times the size of its former colonial master. I like to remind us of that. That's why I'm repeating. That shows you the unfairness of colonialism, imperialism. Portugal, its colonial master, was 77 times smaller than its colony of Zaire. And equal Zaire is to the third of the U.S., which is east of the Mississippi. That's a large, large area indeed. All the USA east of the Mississippi, from Florida upwards to Maine. Population is 25 million. So there's double the population in Zaire that there is in Guyana, which, as I said, is the only place for people to be, because there's more land, more food, and less population than any place in the world. Luba tribes are 17.7%. The Mongo, M-O-N-G-O, including the Tortella, is 16.9%. The Congo, K-O-N-G-O, 12.3%. Rwanda, 10%. About 200 other groups are 43.2%. 50% due to Zaire's nationalist strong-arm leader, Mobutu, has maintained the native religion that goes back eons of time into our Indian and black culture, animism, that recognizes sacred regard for all life, minerals, rocks, animals, and human. Less than 50% are Christian. Who rules? The current dictator, Mobutu Sese Seko, is head of state and government by way of coup d'etat. He took over by military force in 1965. The 1967 Constitution theoretically provides for a 420-member National Assembly. But the head of state really rules, and the government does pretty much what he wants while the National Assembly nods. The remnants of the old mining companies, now somewhat controlled by the government, still wield some power. But as I told you, the miracle change that's taking place in Zaire is perfectly astounding. It will hearten the soul of Patrice Lumumba, who's gone on in some other form, who was killed so mercilessly trying to free Zaire, the Congo, and he was murdered by the CIA. Although at the time of independence, the Congo's living standard was the highest in black Africa, the Belgian rule had been essentially paternalistic. They had given more benefits, at least, to its people. The Belgians are the ones that spoke out today against USA in some of its neo-fascist practices, like the lifting of the ban of arms to Rhodesia. The Belgian rule had been essentially paternalistic, as I said. Colonial capitalist monopolies raped the country of its mineral wealth, while plantation owners, many multinational U.S. corporations, raped the native populace to obtain a labor force. The old regime had not given any administrative responsibility to the natives, and there was no secondary education, no high school education for any citizen that was black or brown until the 50s. Consequently, with the Belgians' sudden departure in 1960, the Congo was left in the lurch. Internal strife followed independence. The provinces of Kasai, K-A-S-A-I, Kivu, K-I-V-U, and Katanga, on whose mineral deposits the rest of the world depended economically, all broke away. The country more or less pulled itself back together again in 1964. In 1965, after some minor rebellions, Colonel Joseph D. Mobutu, now Mobutu Sese Seko, the tough Israeli-trained paratrooper regained control. That's the second time someone trained by fascists like Israel has exercised independence. Idi Amin was also pro-Israel at one time and is now anti-Israel, anti-U.S. He regained control, Mobutu did, and established a strong central government. In 1970, he was elected as the only candidate to a seven-year term as president. He has since set about getting cash for industrial development from the Western countries for the most part, but now with the new change, he is going to use an international train railway linking the Zaire government and Angola so that he can ship his raw materials to Angola and sell them to the highest bidder. If that's socialist, he has said it makes no difference to him. He has apparently been disillusioned by being used when he found out that the imperialist U.S. and her lackeys was buying his raw materials under world prices. Capitalists don't even look after their own. But at the same time, he's expelling foreigners now and Africanizing all culture. He has banned neckties and Christian names and has changed the date of the celebration of Christmas. He will not allow Christ to be honored or no pictures of any of the white Christians to be placed on any public walls. That was the encouraging thing that I guess finally allowed him to develop his independent mind. Leyland Motors, Fiat, and Peugeot have auto assembly plants here, and General Motors and Ford were soon to follow. But now Zaire is putting up barriers. This is a strange, as I said, fantastically strange happening. Zaire has huge mineral wealth. GM and Ford, of course, is U.S. multinational monopolies who have milked and bled people all over the world and helped with their money to overthrow governments and assassinate, torture, and kill people. Zaire has huge mineral wealth. It is the world's fifth largest producer of copper, which constitutes two-thirds of its exports. It also produces smaller amounts, it also produces most of the world's industrial diamonds and smaller amounts of gold, cassiterite, C-A-S-S-I-T-E-R-I-T-E, manganese, zinc, cobalt, silver. Its uranium, one of the only known sources during World War II, made possible the world's first atomic bomb. As you know, 85% of uranium of the world is there, 90% of the cobalt. A national hero is Patrice Lumumba, L-U-M-U-M-B-A, the fiery first prime minister of Zaire. He was deposed in 1960, captured and killed while trying to get to the Kinu province. The CIA pulled his body for miles on a road behind a truck until his skin was pulled from his bones. He was then turned over to his arch enemy, Moshe Tshombe. At that speed, they pulled him and he managed to survive. He was turned over to Moshe Tshombe of Katanga province, who then had him tortured and assassinated while his body was almost nearly comatose. Thus ends the commentary and giving of the news of the day. Study well, much love, give three gratitudes now. We have so much to be grateful for. I love you so very dearly.